Over in the United States, a joint Congress held to ratify the results of the election was interrupted by Trump supporters who stormed Capitol Hill in protest yesterday. In what many are calling a coup, Trump supporters marched to the Capitol building after being encouraged to do so by the president himself in a speech yesterday morning. Capitol police, who were underprepared for the protest, were overwhelmed by the mob, who managed to make their way into the building, all the way into the Senate and House floor, and the offices of lawmakers. The lawmakers, reporters and other staff who were in the building had to be evacuated until police were able to clear the building. The joint Congress resumed once it was cleared to do so and was able to certify the results of the November general election for President-elect Joe Biden and VP-elect Kamala Harris. To discuss, we're joined by Bruce Wolpe, Senior Visiting Fellow at the US Studies Center. Bruce Wolpe, welcome back to The Daily.
Thanks, Tina. Good to be here with you this morning. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for joining us and taking the time. I know it's a very busy time for you with everything that's happening. Incredibly frightening and tumultuous scenes coming out of the United States yesterday, and I'm sure it was quite, I guess, emotional for you to watch your homeland disintegrate in such a way. As someone who themselves worked in Congress during President Obama's first term, how did you feel to see, I guess, your old workplace being stormed by what were essentially domestic terrorists?
That was one of the takeaways that I had. I was just, it was immensely horrible. I worked in that building for 10 years in the Capitol, and I know it. And it was simply inconceivable working there and imagining that Americans would storm the building and disrupt a constitutional process to effect the peaceful transfer of power to the next president. It's just inconceivable to me. You can't compute it as you're looking at it. And that was profoundly distressing and depressing and just awful. But anyway, that occurred. You knew that order would ultimately be restored. But then the second thing that occurred that really was heartening and just gave everyone hope was on the day that the Congress was disrupted from doing its job under the Constitution, the members, the leaders on both parties, all sides, insisted on coming back on the same day and resuming the work that was interrupted to ensure there was a peaceful transfer of power to the next president. So that was an attack on democracy and an affirmation of American democracy. There's a lot in between. But at the end of the day, that was a triumphant moment and something to be quietly celebrated.
This protest was planned well in advance. President Trump was even tweeting about it in December.
Yeah.
Why was there seemingly minimal police presence in the area? And how were the protesters able to get into the building?
They'll answer that. And, you know, there will be accountability. The Sergeant-at-Arms of the House has been fired. The Capitol Police Chief will be fired. And there needs to be a complete restructuring. I guess they didn't imagine the unimaginable, just like I couldn't imagine, you know, and they didn't plan for it. And there was a simple fence perimeter around the at the bottom of the steps leading up to the Capitol, and that was easily overrun. And it was just a shocking lapse in security, and there will be investigations and accountability for it. But then, to have people go into the building, go into the speaker's office, approach the chamber, try and break into the chamber, guns on the inside by security officers pointed at the doors lest they break through. It was just shocking. But there was no question that it would be put down, and the mob expelled from the building, and, you know, some semblance of order would be restored. But, you know, for those few hours, people really wondered. No one had seen anything like it before, and it was the darkest day for American democracy since the Civil War. And that is really a troubling thing to go through.
That is actually really what it called to mind. I did really think back to a lot of, a lot of the films that we've seen over the years or documentaries depicting Civil War, right? I mean, it was extraordinary. You think that's not part of your lifetime, really.
No, there isn't a Civil War. There are a large number of people, but I would put the mob at 20% perhaps of the country that just feel that way, egged on by Trump, believers in Trump, fully willing to absorb and digest, wanting to absorb and digest his messages of corruption and a stolen election and the evils of the establishment and the deep state and all that stuff. And so, yeah, I think 20% of Americans kind of share those views. But is the country on a brink of civil war? The rest of the country was normal yesterday. And there are tensions and divisions and political fight and all that stuff. But life was going on uninterrupted. So there's not an armed uprising to take over the United States or secede from the United States or anything like that. So we can get misconstrued as to what's occurring. But and what's occurring, though, is a president who is unable to concede defeat, reconcile himself to what has happened, and who and ultimately, as we see in real time today, people are very worried about the issue of stability around the president and how he is acting, thinking, and what he may yet be capable of again in the last 12 days of his presidency.
Well, on that, in the aftermath of the riots, as you've just referenced, many lawmakers are placing the blame squarely on President Trump, and Democrats are threatening to impeach the president unless the cabinet invokes the 25th Amendment, which would remove Trump from office immediately and transfer the power of the presidency to Vice President Mike Pence.
Yes.
How likely do you think this is to happen?
Well, there are three kind of exit routes here, and I see. I watched Nancy Pelosi's press conference, Speaker Pelosi, a couple of hours ago, and she said that Trump was a very dangerous person who should not continue in office. This is urgent. This is urgency of the highest nature, highest magnitude, and that's I've never heard a speaker say something like that before, and so that's where we are. I said three kind of exit ramps here to remove Trump from office before the 20th, or manage him in office before until the 20th. The first is the 25th Amendment, and what happens there is that if the vice president and a majority of the cabinet send a letter to the Congress saying the president is unfit for office, the vice president shall be acting president. He becomes the acting president. Trump can challenge that, and then if the vice president and the cabinet stand firm and say, well, he's challenged it, but we reject it, and the vice president will remain as acting president, that can occur in these last 12 days without Congress intervening and without a vote in Congress of sort of confidence in the acting president. So if the vice president and a majority of the cabinet are intent on removing Trump immediately, it can be done, and it can stick until Inauguration Day. The second option would be impeachment, and I believe if the vice president doesn't act, there is a majority in the House of Democrats, and I think there are some Republicans who go with him. It's a majority vote, just as it was, a year ago, December, 13 months ago, to impeach the president. I think they would impeach the president next week.
Has there ever been a president in history impeached twice?
No. But Trump keeps setting records. So,
he really
does,
doesn't he? He's extraordinary. Yeah,
he is. He's definitely at bat. So I think that would occur. And a motion to impeach is a privileged motion in the House, and so it can come up immediately and be voted on. So it can be done. That would trigger, as it did last time, a requirement on the Senate to hold a trial. I doubt that the current Republican leader would want to have a trial, and then there's the time involved and all that stuff. Very hard to do. There's a live issue. Can you still have a trial after Trump leaves after January 20th? I don't know the answer to that question. But so what I'm saying is the president could be impeached, which would increase pressure on him to resign. And then the third option is, okay, we have a very unstable situation in the Oval Office. So what can be done about that? When Richard Nixon was in his last days as president in 1974, after the Watergate scandal, and it was clear that he would be impeached and removed and convicted in the Senate if he stayed in office, the people around him were immensely worried about his state of mind and what he might do. And there were understandings between the National Security Advisor, the Secretary of State, the Secretary of Defense, about what would occur if Nixon issued an order on the use of military force in his last days in office, so that if he made an order, it wouldn't go into an effect unless all three of the other men at the time, were in concurrence with it. So there was a guardrail, a safety check on what the president could do. In this situation, I think there should be, and it may exist already, but we do not know about it. There should be a clear understanding by the vice president, the chief of staff, the national security advisor, the secretary of state, and the acting secretary of defense that no order by the president on the use of military force or anything to affect his staying in office beyond January 20th could go into effect unless there was concurrence of all those men. And but that's what I think at a minimum has to be in place, but I do not know if it will be in place.
A number of resignations from Trump's team have followed the Capitol riots, such as Stephanie Grisham, for instance, Melania Trump's White House chief of staff. And
huge loss for the nation, let me tell you.
Okay. True. Okay, good point. Elaine Chao, the transportation secretary also, who happens to be the wife of now Senate House
Minority
Leader.
That's really interesting. I mean, if you're talking about the 25th Amendment and Mitch McConnell, her husband, has broken with Trump, you want semi-responsible people in the cabinet to stand up and say you're not fit for office. So I kind of would rather, if she's not prepared to seek his removal, fine, resign and go. But if she's prepared to step up and join the vice president, and I don't know what vice, to get him out of office for these last days, she should stay in. So I don't fully understand that calculation.
Well, I mean, that's what I was sort of wondering. Is this? Do you think these resignations are a ducking for cover to save their own reputations and fledgling careers, or is this a genuine disgust over the violence?
Oh, I think it's both. But then to the larger audience, what does it look like? The White House is disintegrating before our eyes. The government is disintegrating. Mm-hmm. The executive branch is disintegrating before our eyes. So if the issue before this happened yesterday, if the issue was how potent a force is Trump after he leaves office, he's shrinking before our eyes, and he's being his image is being soiled before our eyes, and that is a good thing, except for what he's doing to make that happen. That's really the bad thing.
Oh God!
But he's going to be weak. He's weaker. The apex of his power was immediately after the election, and then immediately before the election, and it's been downhill ever since. Everyone who's been all in with Trump throughout is now all out of power. The House has remained Democratic. The Senate is going Democratic. Joe Biden is coming in as president. So he will not be. If people are scared of him today or think he's such a giant, well, let's take a look. Let's have another call. A team in 6 months, okay?
Well, you last time we spoke, you promised that you would have a better report for me around Easter. So do you think we're on track for that?
Yeah. I mean, we'll have a better report for you at 12:01 p.m. on January 20th.
All right. I look forward to that then. I'll hold you to that. Thank you so much, Bruce. Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year. May it be a good year for all of us. We need it. Indeed.
That was Bruce Wolpe. Bruce has worked with Democrats in Congress during the Obama administration and is also the former chief of staff to RPM, Julia Gillard, and currently a senior visiting fellow at the United States Studies Centre here in Sydney.